Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 21, we were talking about the New Jerusalem as the home of the Bride of Christ and just how beautiful it will be. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We see that the New Jerusalem is the abode for the Lamb's wife. As a bride presents herself to her husband in a white and dazzling gown, so pure, this New Jerusalem is described as beautiful and pure. And so Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." In this great descending city, this city coming down out of heaven, are many mansions. Well, what is he talking about? Oh, that's the blessing, my friend. That's the blessing. Now, we've hit this a couple times in the study of the book of Revelation, but it doesn't hurt to hit it again. Putting you in remembrance is one of the jobs that I have as a preacher of the Word of God. But the deal with the mansion is this. When the groom and the bride are first betrothed to one another, when the betrothal is set, today in our country we call this engagement. And somebody gives a ring and they're officially engaged to be married. Well, their engagement was little more serious than ours. And when they became engaged, they were betrothed one to another. And this betrothal meant, this is it. To break this betrothal, you would actually have to go through a divorce, even though the man and woman had not come together to be one flesh. Now, what would happen after this arrangement was made is that this young man would go to his father's house and begin to build a room onto his father's house to prepare it for he and his bride. Now, oftentimes it may be a year before that room was complete, but he would work on the room and build it until it was ready. And then at the appointed time of the father, the groom would come for the bride. Now, he'd have his wedding party with him. He'd have that company with him, and we know that the company that comes with him at that time, at the rapture, are the angels. And when he would get to the outside of the bride's house, he would call her out to him, to come to him from her house. You see, when sometimes we mention the second coming of Christ, and we think of Jesus Christ actually touching down upon the earth. Well, that's not quite the way it is. He doesn't touch down on the earth at the rapture. He'll do that at the end of the seven-year tribulation when he actually comes and touches back on the earth. But this part, he meets us in the clouds, is what the Bible tells us so clearly. And we're caught up to him, just like she's called out the house. He calls up, he says, "Come up hither," Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, and we are taken up to him. And then he would take her home to the Father's house, where there would be a marriage feast. And oh, what a great time together all the people would have. And what a great time we're going to have together as we worship together, as group worship. Remember in Revelation chapter 19, those first seven verses, we saw the four hallelujahs. Well, now, that group worship is so great. It's part of this great marriage feast. But then in the evening, the groom and his bride would retire to that room, their honeymoon suite, and it's called a mansion. And the great thing about our God, He is omnipresent. And so, we'll have a great time at that marriage feast in heaven, but then there'll be the personal time, alone with our Lord, in which we are one in spirit. And again, because He's omnipresent, He's able to do that. And so, although the great worship together, the great marriage feast is a wonderful thing, to retire to that mansion with your Lord will be a blessing beyond description. Now that takes us to verse 3 here of our text in Revelation 21. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Now, in verse 3, we note that the tabernacle of God is with men. And that just excites me. In our church, we've been studying the book of Hebrews. And you get to chapter 9, you look at that Old Testament tabernacle. And the Bible lets us know, both in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, that that Old Testament tabernacle, as special as it is and was but a pattern of the true tabernacle in heaven. God told Moses that's what it was, and He showed Moses the true one. Now today, I know the Jews mention about they know where the old tabernacle is. They know where that old ark is, and they're just waiting. They're just waiting to bring out that old ark. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. It may be. I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I think it would be a wonderful thing. But understand, that's not the ark of heaven. You see, this one in heaven is the true ark of God. This holy place is the true abode of God's manifestation. That Old Testament tabernacle. The high priest would go into that room. You see, the tabernacle was made of two rooms. The first room was called the holy place. And that holy place would be open 365 days a year. The priest would go in there and minister daily. That is the priest of the Aaronic line. And they go in there. Some would do incense offerings. Others would do the table of showbread in various areas of that first room. But the second room was called the holiest of all. Some have referred to it as the Holy of Holies. In that room was the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat atop of the Ark. And the high priest, and the high priest only, would go into that room, but only one day a year. Not every day, only one day a year. A thick curtain divided the two rooms. That was to prevent the other priests from being able to see into that second room. They weren't allowed to even peek into the second room, let alone go in. They would be struck dead immediately. The high priest, if he didn't enter that second room rightly, he too would have been struck dead. And so, that Old Testament tabernacle was of such a thing that among the Jews, they still rever that Ark of the Covenant today. And it has a very special meaning to them. And they would not be able to stomach even the priest of any order going in there, let alone the common people. and being around this ark. They wouldn't stomach people being around the mercy seat. You see, that was supposed to be the place of the manifestation of God's glory, with the cherubims covering it. I think of Satan. You know, Satan one time had this position of being the covering cherub, but he fell. And he lost this great position. But men just couldn't go in there. Even the holy men. Even men as David couldn't go in there. There were great men and prophets of God that could not go in there. But in this heavenly tabernacle, we're told here in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be their God. We actually are dwelling in the tabernacle of God up there. What a change he must make in us that we can actually dwell there. Oh, the Jew of that Old Testament, he'd be astounded. He could not look inside the one that was made by the hands of man. But this tabernacle of heaven is made without hands. It is so holy. And it is not lessened in holiness by having men in it, because he has changed us to be able to dwell in that holiness. You see, my friend, the tabernacle of heaven is not devalued, but rather, we're brought up to it, not it down to us. It's not even brought down partway to meet us partway. No, 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 my friend. We have been reconciled to it by the blood and grace of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he says that he will dwell with them. You know, that word dwell is to make it his abode. To be at home. Our God will be with us. He'll be our God. And best of all, we will be his people. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We will live with God in his abode forever and ever, because we, through Christ Jesus, the new birth, are the children of God. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.